The Tom Woods Show, episode 2167.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever wondered how younger kids can learn authentic American history, we finally have the answer. The Tuttle Twins children's book series now has an American history volume. Check it out at tomwoods.com/history. Hey, everybody. Tom Woods here. What a treat. We are joined today by the great Henry Bingaman, who has been a supporter of the Tom Woods Show for at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years. So I knew his name, but I didn't really get to know him and then actually meet him in person until this year. And although he is a, let's say, compared to me anyway, a young whippersnapper, he is very accomplished in his field. He is a professional copywriter, which means he writes advertising copy, sales letters. Anytime you use words to sell something, that's called copywriting. And Henry has sold about $300 million worth of goods and services through his writing. Surely you know the comedian Steve Harvey. He calls Henry Bingaman one of the best damn writers I've ever worked with. I got particularly interested in what Henry does because he told me that he was stepping away from the kind of work he's done up to now, which has, of course, earned him a fortune, in order to take his talents and put them in the service of libertarians, of people on our side of things who want to become more prosperous and who could use his services. Because his view is that if you look at the way the wind is blowing right now and the way the world is going, now's the time for us to be helping each other. And I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting angle. Then we should definitely get on here and talk about that. And I'm glad he's doing that because I'm a libertarian and I need his services. So as I say, I've been working with him. As a matter of fact, I just finished a call with him to talk about a project and he's been helping me with it. And I couldn't have done it myself. There's just no way. I'm good at some things and I'm an amateur at others. And he is an expert at things where I'm just an amateur. So we're going to talk about this kind of stuff today. Henry, welcome to the show.
Tom, thanks for having me.
I'm sorry it took me until 2022 to find out about you, but holy cow, am I glad that our paths crossed. For one thing, as I mentioned in the intro, I feel silly saying that I've hired you because it makes it seem like the hierarchy goes me, you know, and then you, but you know way, way more than I do. That's actually why I brought you on. But anyway.
Only about marketing. You know a lot more about libertarianism and liberty than I do.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, but those are a dime a dozen. I mean, a guy like you, and that's one of the ways you can tell the difference between that is what it cost somebody to hire me as a consultant on libertarianism as compared to what it would cost to hire Henry Bingaman to consult, right, on marketing. But anyway, worth every penny, by the way, worth every penny. So you gave a presentation at my School of Life in-person event that we did in a couple of weeks ago in Orlando that had, I would say, people were most glued to your presentation of all the people who spoke. I saw people frantically taking notes. I heard murmurs throughout the room like, oh my gosh, I never thought of this. And so I thought, I am so glad I said, yes, this guy should speak. So glad, you know, because it's always weird when you bring speakers on that you've never seen speak before and you have no idea if they're any good at it. You're just crossing your fingers, please be halfway decent. And you were so more than halfway decent. It was absolutely great. So I want to start there, if you don't mind, and then we'll get into more general commentary, but you gave a presentation on copywriting as a great occupation for libertarians. Now, sometimes libertarians hear copyright and they're thinking intellectual property, but that's copyright, C-O-P-Y-R-I-G-H-T. Obviously, we're not talking about that. We're talking about writing copy. And I agree with you as a guy who's a kind of an advanced amateur at it, that it is actually a great occupation for libertarians in particular. But I tried to convince people of this about half the Tom Woods Show ago, something like the mid-1000s, I had Bob Bly on, who's a great copywriter, to make the case. So since not everybody listened 1,000 episodes ago, or they, believe it or not, Henry, they may have forgotten what they heard 1,000 episodes ago, talk to us about that.
About why copywriting is a kind of great career for libertarians?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the most mobile careers you can do and still make a really good income. So a lot of libertarians, I think, are very like, live in their heads. They like ideas, abstract ideas. And one of the best things about copy is you get to bring a lot of abstract ideas, put them together, put them down on paper and make money. And you can do that from anywhere in the world. So like, you know, a lot of my workday is listening to podcasts and YouTube videos and reading books. I know that appeals to a lot of people, especially I would think in your audience, your book readers love to do research. You know, the other thing that I really love about it is you don't need anybody's permission to do it. You know, there's no licenses. You don't have to go to college to become a copywriter. You just get good and then start doing it. And you can make a, you know, I know so many copywriters that make six figures and work like 20 hours a week and move all over the country whenever they want. It's just a great way, especially when you don't know what local government's going to be doing to you in the next 2 months, much less the next 10 years.
Right.
You can just pick up and move whenever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. No kidding. And in case that sounds unrealistic to people, I don't think you understand how important a copywriter is. The difference between a well-written sales page and a bad sales page is the difference very often between massive success and absolute catastrophe. Even if it isn't that extreme, it can still be the difference between pulling in $250,000 from a launch and $50,000 from a launch, or 2 million versus 200,000. It can make a huge, huge difference. So if a copywriter comes up and says, yeah, I'll consult with you or I'll help write your copy, that'll be $1,000 an hour. People don't even hesitate. Yeah, of course I would pay that. Why would I not? It would be stupid of me not to pay that. For a good copywriter? In fact, for a good copywriter, sometimes it'll be more than that. So it's not at all unrealistic. The issue is the process of getting good. That's the thing. How do you go? Because you, as you say, you can learn it quickly. And you gave the analogy of basketball. You can learn basketball in like 5 minutes. That doesn't mean you're going to be Michael Jordan. Well, likewise, you can learn copywriting. You can learn the ideas behind it by reading some of the classic books on it and by observing other people doing it. And if you really pour yourself into it, you can have that accomplished in about a month. The issue is, how do you get better? And so how do you get better?
Yeah, like you said, copywriting isn't hard to learn. The basic fundamentals, you know, the headline, the lead, the body copy, the close. There's a couple formulas out there like AIDA, attention, interest, desire, action. You know, that's all basic stuff you can learn in a month at the most, if you take a couple courses, read a couple books. But the concept that I like to use to talk about really how to get to the top levels of copywriting, or even the mid levels where you're making six figures and kind of making your own schedule, I stole from Scott Adam. He calls it the talent stack. Have you ever heard of this concept?
Well, because I heard it from you.
Oh, but that's
otherwise not. Yeah.
Yeah. So Scott Adams is the creator of Dilbert. And his concept of the talent stack is he wasn't the best writer, but he was pretty good. He wasn't the best illustrator, but he could draw pretty well. And he wasn't the funniest guy in the world, but you know, he could make a joke. And when he put them all together, he created this multi-million dollar brand of Dilbert. So with copywriting, what it really is adding more and more skills to your repertoire. So you start with the basics of copy, learning to write well, short, concise sentences. You know, one of the biggest mistakes I see newer writers make is they put five ideas in a sentence. You kind of have to learn the discipline of putting one idea in a sentence and then moving on to the next one and then connecting them. One of the things I got really good at early on that I put in my talent stack is research. So finding those like hidden gems in, especially scientific papers that are just a bore to get through. Nobody knows how to dig deep into those and find those little gems. But if you can do that, you can pull it out and make really interesting points in your copy that keep people engaged. You know, nobody reads boring copy or uninteresting copy. So becoming entertaining in your writing, that's another skill I've added. How to keep people engaged with good stories, you know, light humor. You don't want to try to be a stand-up comedian in your copy. But if you can make little jokes that you know the audience will agree with, that's a great way to keep them engaged. And then, you know, one of the things that I'm really good at is combining different ideas into one and coming up with a totally unique angle. So I did a promo a couple of years ago, and we were at the end of the day, we were selling an investment newsletter, and this was teasing a stock tip. And the stock was actually NVIDIA, and they had this parallel processing video chip out. But one of the biggest uses was virtual reality. And so I went looking and looking up, you know, what are all the different ways virtual reality is being used? And I found this story of a soldier who had been just mutilated in Afghanistan, burned, third-degree burns all over his body, had run over an IED. And, you know, one of the terrible things about third-degree burn victims is their scabs need to be scrubbed off every day to heal properly, or it'll just be, it'll get infected and it's messy. And that's just an incredibly painful process. And, you know, no drugs were working for him. So they started using this virtual reality set, and it really relieved his pain. He was able to get through it without, you know, screaming in agony. And so I then looked into the process of how virtual reality works. And technically, the reason it can cut off pain is because the light signals that hit your eyes move faster than the electric signals that transmit to your brain from the pain points. So if you see something else in front of you, and in this case, it was like, I think it was an icy bath or something. So it felt cold, not painful for him, because his brain saw those, like I said, the light, the visions hit his brain before the pain did. And so I put that all into this concept, and the headline was about neural imprinting is what I nicknamed it. So it's just an interesting approach to get people engaged, and then you lay out your case from there, keeping them engaged the whole way through.
Can you talk about maybe a few of the jobs you've had? Because you were giving at least one example of a job where you were getting paid like years later for the results of one job you did.
Yeah, actually, this is the reason that copywriters make so much money, is because there's something that we get called royalties, which it kind of comes from book terms, but it's more of a commission on sales letters you write. So the top copywriters get paid, you know, 5, 10% of the gross sales minus refunds of the project that they do. So I did a promotion for a health product. It was actually a female weight loss product. And I wrote this thing in 2017. It went out. And we used actually Ryan Levesque's ask method to get people in, mostly running on Facebook and YouTube ads. And this thing is still running, what is it, 5 years later now? And it's paying me anywhere from, you know, $20,000 a month in royalties to sometimes $50,000 a month in royalties, on especially in the weight loss season. So the longevity of the royalties that makes copywriting, you know, it just builds up over time. So the more of these projects you have out, the more your royalties build.
Okay, that's pretty appealing. We'll put it that way. I know there are some professions where I can kind of predict the political views of the people who are in them. But in my experience, now maybe this is just the circles I travel in, but I know a lot of copywriters. And I would say on balance, they tend to lean in our direction. And I'm not exactly sure why that should be. I'm speculating that, for example, one reason people say that people who are on the political right tend not to be represented in academia, it's not just that they don't get hired, although that's a lot of it. But the other thing is that they tend to be doers. They go out in the world, they build businesses. They don't stand up in front of classrooms and teach. They go out and build things. Well, so I think there may be likewise a reason that people in this game might sort of incline in our direction. And that is, you have to not think there's a moral problem with making a pitch to somebody. You have to not think there's a moral problem with offering something for sale. And practically everybody is raised to think that there's something wicked and underhanded about that. Like, they look at a sales page with vastly more skepticism than they do a White House press conference. It's incredible how upside down it is. And I think it's because we embrace capitalism, so we see no problem with being part of it. I mean, do you think maybe that's the explanation? Or by the way, do you even think that I'm right, that a lot of people in that profession tend to be with us politically?
I think there's a good mix of political views among the copywriters that I know. You know, I knew a couple of hardcore right-winger copywriters. My mentor is a very left-wing person, although he's, you know, an anti-woke left-winger. But, you know, the liberal people that tend to do well in copy, you know, the guys making six and seven figures, they feel guilty about their lives. Like, they don't necessarily feel good about their career. It makes them so much money, they don't walk away from it. But then they give these massive amounts of money to charity, which I have nothing against giving to charity, but they feel like they're kind of paying pittance for their career. And, you know, I just don't look at it that way. You know, I think if you have a product that can help somebody's life, you have a moral obligation to make them see it that way.
Right.
So you have to sell to do that. There's persuasion in everything we do. So why not just get good at it? Like, why feel bad about being good at being able to persuade people to see things your way? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Or even, frankly, just to get their attention, period, so that they know that the product even exists at all. I mean, I've given multiple times the example of the Icy Hot product that has helped a lot of people with, I don't know if it's arthritis, but this kinds of pain, aches and pains you get as you get older. And it's just transformed their lives. They can go out and take a walk with their grandkids and do stuff they couldn't have done before. And yes, of course, whoever invented it deserves most of the credit. But it's one thing to invent something, but it's another to alert people to its existence. And that is a completely separate skill.
Yeah. You know, there's a concept that I teach when I coach copywriters called misdirection. So, you know, these sales letters tend to be, when we put them in video form, they're like an hour. When you do in just page form, they can be 30, 40 pages long. So you're expecting people to read a lot of stuff. So I tend to like to write the beginning of those long type of sales letters, kind of like a mystery novel. So I put in you make a big promise about what they're going to get from watching this. And then you put in little red herrings about what the solution could be. So they're trying to go through and guess the whole way through. Well, is this the solution? And then you disprove that thing and tease another way. So that type of entertainment, I consider it, people actually like watching my sales videos. They enjoy it. It's entertaining to them. And then at the end, you offer them a great product that's going to change their life and everybody wins.
At some point in our recent correspondence, I got to know that you were a copywriter and we got talking and you kind of suggested that you were maybe walking away, not from copy per se, but from maybe the kinds of projects you'd been doing because of the way you see the political and cultural winds blowing. Is that something you feel comfortable talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was making $1 million a year as a copywriter, but I'm selling, you know, financial investing tips and, you know, health products. And health products are great, but do I really need to help you lose 10 pounds, you know, when the government is locking you in your house? It just doesn't seem right. It feels like, sure, I have this skill set that can make me a lot of money, but I think I can also make a lot of money and help more freedom-oriented, independent-oriented businesses, which is what, you know, that makes a difference in the world and we all make money. I think having money actually gives you a level of power in society and freedom in society that, you know, if you don't have money, you don't have options. So I want to help the people that are making the world better make more money. So I walked away from, you know, I still consult with them occasionally, but my, you know, big $200 million a year business clients, you know, I just put them on hold. I said, I'm going to go do this. I launched my own podcast called Getting Out of the Machine. So I'm trying to help people, you know, get more independence in their life despite what the government's doing.
So what would be an example of that? What would be somebody who could come use your services? Now, I'm somebody who's using your services right now. You're helping me to craft a sales message. And I appreciate your generosity with me the other day when we were looking it over. And I kind of felt like it was better than I thought it would be. What I sent you was better than I expected I would be able to come up with. And you agreed that it was pretty good writing. And I thought, He said, but in terms of sales, it could be improved. Okay, I absolutely welcome that kind of feedback. But somebody listening to this, for example, who would be somebody you could help? What would be an example?
Well, really, anybody that has a kind of libertarian stance and has a business online, typically they do silly things with their messaging. John Carlton calls it selling off the back foot. So they hesitate to really push their product. They're like, yeah, you know, I have something you might like. You could try it if you want. So what I can really do is come in all of your email marketing and your, you know, if you have any sales copy, I can come in and help you punch it up rather quickly, I think. Would you agree with that, that I can fairly quickly add some value to a copy?
Oh, thankfully, of course, you use the track changes feature in Microsoft Word. So I was able to see very clearly what the changes were you made. And it's vastly better now. It's vastly better. I don't know why I was holding back or not expressing myself the way I should have or making the pitch the way I should have, but doggone it, it's vastly, vastly better now.
Yeah, I think one of the things is people, so when you're speaking from stage, you have kind of a different personality than when you're just, or when you're podcasting, you're probably a little more forward than you are in your personal life. Like when I went up on stage at your event, which was so much fun, by the way, but I talked about my income. And if I was in a personal conversation, I would never do that. But I was trying to sell the idea of copywriting and kind of open up people's eyes to the possibilities that, yeah, there are ways to make a lot of money doing this. And I was using myself as an example. So people tend to, when they're writing for their own stuff, they write in the more reserved manner that they interact with friends and people they meet. But you have to be more acting like you're on a stage and be making a forceful case for what you want. So it's really easy to get caught in your own, you know, normal kind of, you don't want to be too cocky. You want to be kind of humble, but you can't be too humble in copy. You can be self-deprecating in some ways for humor, for, you know, telling people that, look, I get what I'm doing here. We're playing this game, but you have to put the message forward. So you have to have a kind of copy persona when you're writing your own copy, especially.
It's so weird. There's something weird about the internet marketing world. The one time I spoke at an internet marketing conference, I had to violate one of the normal rules of society, which is you don't boast about, you know, income milestones you've had. Who would, right? This is just all wrong. But yet, in that world, in order to get credibility, you have to say, look, the reason you need to listen to me is that I know what I'm doing and here's the proof. So I was teaching them how to monetize an email list. And I had to say, look, I have a much smaller email list than a lot of people. And yet, look at the results I've had. You know, I was in this sales contest and these other people who had a list of 300,000 came in second place behind me. And I earned X dollars just for being in first place. And I ran through all these slides. And then I said, look, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry I'm acting like this. But apparently in this world, this is expected.
Absolutely. You know, after I talked about, you know, my income at your event, I tied it back to reality. So what I said was, and I truly believe this, there are only three reasons for really accumulating wealth. The first is to gain power. And the people that get rich to be powerful scare me. They're the ones who are buying politicians and, you know, paying off bribes and all that stuff. That's not what you want to be. The other reason that I've seen, and this is honestly most people, is they want to accumulate wealth for status. They want people to, you know, typically they feel small and weak inside. So they want to project this presence of like, no, I'm proving that I'm worth something by making a lot of money. And then the third reason, which is what I try to focus on, is freedom. Having money allows you to have freedom. It allows you to have influence among your peers. You can kind of do what you want and lead by demonstration. So that's when I talk about it, I wanted to see that like the reason to get money is for freedom. I don't want you to go out there and start buying politicians or start getting on that status treadmill. You're never going to catch up to Elon Musk. So why bother trying to have that status? Get money for freedom. And you know, copywriting is honestly a great way to do that. You have the mobility of lifestyle and almost unlimited income potential.
Hey folks, let's take a minute to thank our sponsor, Liquid IV. I have certain set parts of my morning routine and my daily routine that help jumpstart my day, keep me energetic, and staying hydrated and making that a priority is absolutely one of those things. Well, one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. So for me, I've been trying it in the middle of my day when I feel like I've reached my peak of productivity and I'm starting to taper off. That jolt of hydration gives me that extra oomph to keep going. And man, do I have a lot on my plate lately, so I can use every advantage I can get. And not to mention, I love the different flavors. Now, I like flavors that remind me of being a kid. So I kind of like the grape flavor, I'll be honest with you. But also lemon lime, you know, when I'm in one of my more mature moods. Watermelon or strawberry when I'm kind of half and half. It's got in there vitamins B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C, 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. It's designed to enhance rapid absorption of water and other key ingredients into the bloodstream. So check it out. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 15% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WOODS at checkout. That's 15% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WOODS at liquidiv.com. What do you talk about on your podcast? It's more than just copywriting.
So I do a couple of my own personal episodes, which are, you know, I did my own personal 10 commandments, which was how I try to stay moral in a world where there's all these temptations. And if you make split second decisions, if you don't have a set of principles, it's really easy to go wrong.
Yeah.
I did an episode on how the educational system got started, going back to Horace Mann and kind of how evil he was, but he really viewed children as property of the states. And, you know, that's kind of education system hasn't really progressed since that. And then I've had a bunch of great interviews. You know, I have a lot of friends in the marketing world. So I had Justin Goff on, you know, he just sold his second business for multi-seven figures. He's retired at 38 now and working with dog shelters. So he was another copywriter that went into business for himself. I had Brian Kurtz on, who built Boardroom up to $150 million a year. That's a publishing company. And, you know, Brian Kurtz is just amazing. He's one of the most connected people in all of direct response. And he used to work with some of the legends of copywriting, like the Gary Halberts and the Eugene Schwartz and the Gary Bensavingas. And I know people, those names won't mean anything to people outside the marketing and copy world.
Oh, they're huge names.
But they're just enormous. So I had him on. I had Nick Black on, who's a crypto expert. And he once made $780,000 in a single day on crypto. He lives his entire life off of crypto. And, you know, despite the recent crash, he's still pretty wealthy and preaching crypto. So I have, you know, interesting guests and then some of my own personal takes.
What is the podcast? How do people find it?
Oh, the podcast is called Getting Out of the Machine.
Getting Out of the Machine. Okay.
I have a shortcut link to get to it. It's just henryb.co/YouTube to find it on YouTube or /Apple or /Spotify. I have an Odyssey channel, but I admit I'm pretty lax on keeping it up to date.
But the way it should work is it automatically sucks in everything you put on YouTube. So if you set it up right, you don't have to do any extra work for Odyssey. That's the beautiful part of it. Yeah, it populates it for you. So just check that. And within 10 minutes, you'll have it all set up. And then
that's good to know.
There's another platform for you.
It was at your event. Everybody's telling me, you gotta get off YouTube. You gotta get on Odyssey. But you know, there's a lot of people on YouTube. And I love the concept of Odyssey. I love the blockchain version of it, but there's just no audience there yet.
Yeah, that is a bit of a problem. But I use social media to direct people. Like sometimes I just figure there's no point in putting an episode on YouTube. They're just going to take it down. So I just tell people, you know, go over to Odyssey and I get it that way. But it also, with one click, it'll get all your existing material from your YouTube channel. You know, it might take a day or so, but it migrates it all over to Odyssey. So all the excuses you give yourself as to why I don't want to go on this platform, they've tried to get rid of all of them. You know, like, okay, we're going to get all your stuff over. We're going to keep it updated. So I really like, and those people are really, really solid libertarians. So I really trust them. I know at least one of them. So that's all great. You know, I did an episode earlier this week with our friend, Kevin Dolan. And then I sent out an email about it, about woke HR departments, which is something you and I don't have to deal with at all. And the response I got through email, and half the people who write back and respond to my email newsletters, they're not even sure if anyone sees it. And yet they write to me anyway. And I got quite a response saying, look, this is exactly what's happening, or it's metastasized well beyond the HR department. I had somebody write to me and say, if even what I do for a living can be wokeified, it's coming for everybody. And it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. I was stunned at the response that I got on that. And so, as it turns out, 6 months ago, you know, obviously you know I launched the Tom Woods School of Life program. And basically by doing that, I was saying, look, all of us know there's a problem here. We all know that we're living in a society where the education system hates you, the CEOs hate you, the media hates you, the entertainment people hate you. They're making it impossible for you to save. They're trying to screw you out of your job, whether it's through the vax mandates or ideological conformity or whatever it is. So in other words, if you thought, oh, I'll just keep my head down and not say controversial things, well, they still want to jab you. It's just one thing after another, everywhere you turn in your life. And then the health establishment, forget them, they're just as bad as everybody else. It's like everything is, the craziest paranoid guy 20 years ago turned out to be right. Everybody's against you. And I feel like I know there are a lot of people who see the world the way I do. And I know we feel helpless. So I basically said, look, I'm hoisting a flag here. And let's see who comes and salutes. You know what I mean? Let's see who comes and rallies to it. I'm hoisting a flag. We're going to do something about this. But yet I look at a guy like you and you're so successful. I don't know why you joined. So what were you thinking?
I mean, one of the best things about that group is, first of all, I joined because I know you do interesting things and I really wanted to support you and see what this was about. But the reason that I love the group so much is because we're actually helping each other out. Like I know there was somebody that got fired, I think, from their job, from one of those woke things, got their job almost instantly replaced.
Yeah.
Inside your community, just
inside
from talking
my community. He got a job doing the same work, got the same pay on the same day that he was fired by some loser because he was part of my group. Yes. I mean, that kind of thing is happening in this thing. So yeah, I'm pretty happy about that.
Well, and you know, I was able to help somebody out. There was a person that has a certain product that I knew would go well with a couple of my clients' lists. So I made an introduction and you know, he's going to get in front of between a million and 10 million people with his offer, which, you know, that's going to be pretty good for him, I would expect.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of people in there helping each other out. There's people offering advice to each other. And it's just, you know, we feel so isolated generally. I have one very good friend who's a libertarian. And you know, he's the guy that comes up and we go shooting and we talk about how the government should go away. But most of my friends, you know, we talk about food or we talk about sports because if we get on politics, we don't even see the same reality.
Yeah.
So having a group of people where you could go and you just, first of all, they're there to help you out. I actually can't wait until the, fitness accountability group start.
Yes.
I really, you know, I need somebody to be able to report back to that, yes, I did it. I need that accountability. But having just a community there that supports each other and, you know, I am not the highest level person in that group. There are a lot of very successful and, you know, I don't know, just very interesting people in there. So it's a great membership to be a part of. I've loved it.
I'm going to mention a name. I don't think he'd mind, but my friend John Bush has been a really great example of what I want to see more of. When I first got to know him, it was one of the first Ron Paul campaigns. He must have been in his 20s. He still looks like he's about 12. He must have been in his 20s. And he was just a tireless activist type. But being a tireless activist type also tends to mean you're penniless. So he ran a bookstore in Austin, libertarian bookstore called Brave New Books. And if you can think of a more razor-thin margin operation than a libertarian bookstore, I'd like to know what it is, right? And he really, really struggled. I mean, it was a real strain on him personally. And then now he's doing exactly the same kind of cause. He runs homeschool seminars, or he's got this exit and build land summit that he's held where he's teaching people how to go out in the countryside and just build a parallel series of institutions. So it's stuff he believes in passionately, but now he knows what he's doing. You know, now he knows how to run a virtual summit, how to collect email addresses, how to follow up to those email addresses, how to market. I mean, and he makes a good living now, a really comfortable living. And he's learning all the time. He goes to conferences. He went to Russell Brunson's ClickFunnels thing. He's urging me to go. I feel like a bum because I don't go to these things. And he's urging me, you've got to go to this. You've got to come with me next year. And so he's full of enthusiasm. So he didn't just sit around and complain or, you know, blame fate or the Federal Reserve for what was going on with him. He just sat down and learned everything he could learn. And then he applied it to this area that he loves. Well, anyway, so I got him into one of the small groups that we have in the School of Life. And I said, look, I know you're already successful, but we can all stand to be even more successful. Get in one of these groups. He said, I'd love to get in one of these groups. Because we rolled it out to just 150 of our members because we wanted to test it. But now we're expanding it to more and more people. So I put him in there. And after the first meeting, he said, wow, am I going to profit from this in both senses of the word? He said, but people who are just starting out and all they know is they want to get out. All they know is they want to get out of this soul-crushing job or whatever it is they have. They are going to benefit massively from this. And so John's a successful guy. You know, he's going to be just fine on his own. And he went into this and I was afraid maybe he would think it was too newbie-ish or whatever. He said, no, it was just right, just perfect. And that makes me feel like I hoisted this flag and people showed up. So, of course, as I've said before, we're reopening that thing for a few days and then we're closing it back up again. We're opening it to more members for the first few days of August. So if you want to be notified when that happens, if you want to rally to this flag, then tomschooloflife.com is the website. So it was great to be able to hold an event where people like you were speaking and I could say you're all from the group. So, having said all that, I admire what you're doing because I know how much money you've generated for various companies. And in effect, you've kind of walked away from that saying that given what's happening in the world right now, I want to help my tribe in effect. I want to help people in this world that I believe in to get better at what they do. So is there a particular subset? I mean, are you you're probably not the guy to go to if somebody is just getting started. So who would benefit from a Henry Bingaman kind of guy?
I would say if you're already online generating a few hundred thousand dollars or more a year, just in bottom line revenue, I think I can probably help accelerate that number. I can teach you how to launch new products. We can sit down and figure out a way to grow your revenue 20, 30, 40% over the next year or two. So if you already have some success online, that works. If you're just starting out, my podcast is a great place to start, just to plug that again. It's going to show you a lot of the basics. We're going to talk to very interesting people. I already have. So yeah, I think that's about who I would work with. Somebody that's making more than a couple hundred thousand in their business life. That's someone I can come in and quickly make a big difference for. You know, it's when you start getting up to the 10, 20, $30 million level, I can certainly make incremental differences there, but it's just a much heavier slog. So
that's the bad news, folks. If you're making 10, 20, $30 million, you might not get that much benefit from Henry Bingaman. That's the bad news for today.
Well, the problem is I could do it. It's just too much effort.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine.
Yeah, when I got to Money Map Press was one of my biggest clients for a long time. They're one of the Agora imprints. And when I got there with my mentor, Jed Canty, back in 2011, they were doing $30 million. And at their peak, we got up to $300 million. So I've seen the inner workings of all these businesses. And then I've worked with a lot of smaller, you know, $1, $2 million businesses and just a lot of really smart marketers. So I've seen the inside of so many businesses that I just know where the problems are lying. And once you plug those holes, the money just comes in a little easier.
Yeah. Now, as of this recording, how many podcast episodes have you got?
I think I have 13 out right now.
Ah, all right. I'm going to start listening to those.
Yeah, it's brand
That's
new.
That's good. I'm going to start listening.
I'm having fun with it.
Yeah. Podcasting is a great thing. I don't know if this is still true, but I heard some years ago that the median number of episodes of a podcast, like the median podcast has... or the number is 7. So half the podcasts in the world have fewer than 7 episodes. And, you know, the other half have more. So if you can get to the magic number 7, you're already among the elite in podcasting. People just give it up for whatever reason.
I'm using that as a testimonial. Tom Woods calls me an elite podcaster.
That's right. I mean, you've almost doubled the median number. So that's a good thing. So I'm gonna start listening to that. But tell me, plug something for me. You must have something other than your podcast. You're a marketer, right?
So I put together, when you invited me on to do this, the reason I pushed it back a day is because I wanted to have a gift for your folks, for your listeners. So I put together a quick checklist of the 7 messaging mistakes that murder sales. You know, these are some of these you've actually been making, so you might want this report. it's just a quick checklist. And then there's a few pages that describe each of the mistakes and kind of what to do instead. So people can get that by just going to messagingmistakes.com. I set up a redirect URL so you can get there. You'll also be able to get on my email list there. And I send out, you know, I like to think I'm a fairly good email writer, and then some podcast alerts. And I've done Q&As over email, and people seem to love those, answering their specific marketing problems. So I'm probably going to do some more Q&As, and you only get to ask questions if you're on the email list. So that's messagingmistakes.com. You'll get that checklist, the report, and then you'll be able to get my emails.
All right. I want all this. And yeah, that was a nice way to rope me in. You're making some of these mistakes. Shut up. All right. I'll take a look and we'll see about that. But I appreciate you talking to us today. I want people, well, how about this? I mean, they should listen to your podcast. In your podcast, do you have any recommendations for, again, I know you're not appealing just to copywriters, but that was one of our topics today. And if we haven't whetted people's interest in that particular line of work, then I give up. What would you recommend people do? Like, are there particular classic courses that everybody takes who becomes good, or are there books they should read? What would you recommend for that?
The Bible of Marketing is a book that everyone that has any type of business should read over and over every year, is Breakthrough Advertising by Eugene Schwartz. It was written in the 60s, but he talks about the different cycles of markets and how you have to know your audience's state of awareness and stage of sophistication. It's kind of advanced, but once you get those lessons, you're going to be ahead of 99% of your competitors. So that's one book that everyone in business should read. My favorite copywriting course that I went over, I listened to books on CDs because that's how long ago I was learning copy, is I had a CD player in my car. So when I was driving to the one corporate job that I had, I would just listen to John Carlton's Kick-Ass Copywriting Secrets of a Marketing Rebel over and over. And that really instilled a lot of the just basics of copywriting and psychology of people. And then Robert Cialdini's Influence. You know, copywriting isn't really about the writing. It's about the psychology of the customer. You're kind of trying to solve a riddle there. So you're connecting the customer's desire with your product. What goes in between there, the bridge to that is the ad. So Robert Cialdini's Influence just talks about a lot of little triggers that people have, psychological triggers and consumer behavior. Like why you don't want to have too many options out, the click world thing is interesting. So get that book and look it up because that'll blow your mind.
How do you spell his last name?
Cialdini with a C. Hold on, I could look it up.
All right, because I wasn't sure what name that was and I'm trying to write these down for my own benefit.
C-I-A-L-D-I-N-I.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't have thought that. So got it. And I look at it now, it seems like it makes sense, but I wouldn't have thought of that. All right, so you have your podcast, Getting Out of the Machine, and we want to get people over to messagingmistakes.com because it'll help them.
Absolutely.
So thank you. Yeah, so thank you for this. Thanks for, I'm glad you're in my orbit. I love having a guy like you in my orbit. And I admire what you're doing, that you're taking the talents you have and realizing we're not quite at Mad Max, but we're not a million miles removed from it either. And as trends continue, you want to be on the side of the people who are being put upon by the bad guys and help them the best they can. Well, that's about as admirable as it gets. So thank you, Henry.
I have to say thank you because you've really given us people who believe in liberty a place to congregate in your school of life. Just putting that together is such a service, I think, to this whole world of people who want to be free. So I want to thank you for doing that.
Well, my pleasure. I want this thing to continue. It was a smash hit when we opened it and we want to just keep it going and gather up as many people in there as possible. The synergies that are developing in there as more and more people are engaging with it are really something to behold. So, all right, we'll talk again definitely in the future, but I've got to get out of here so I can go start listening to your podcast and then finding out what mistakes I'm making. So thank you, Henry.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, everybody, that is going to do it for the Tom Woods Show for this week. Remember, of course, you want to be in the Libertarian Cool Kids Club where we're actually doing things instead of complaining. So hop on the waiting list for when I reopen August 1st. TomSchoolOfLife.com. Get on there with all the other cool people. Those doors will be open just for a few days and then they will close again for 6 more months. And so instead of just releasing podcast episodes and writing email newsletters and stuff like that, we're also going to build something and make better lives for ourselves. So TomSchoolOfLife.com is where to go. I'll see you next week.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at Podsworth.com.